In the book that we're studying in our small groups, written by Dr. Henry Blackaby, What the Spirit Says to the Churches, there was a quote that I'd like to share with you this morning. It said, "Today more than ever, God's people need to hear His voice. And then they need to stand afresh before Him in our personal lives and in our churches, and to trust Him to do all that He promised. Today more than ever, God's people need to hear His voice and stand afresh before Him in our personal lives and in our churches to trust Him in all that He promises." We need to hear His voice. Would you not agree? I think most of us long to hear His voice. I don't think there's a single one of us sitting here this morning who said, "Well, I don't need it. I don't need to listen to Him." As you stop and you look around this world, we need to hear His voice. Jobs are uncertain. We need to hear His voice. We need to hear His voice. The economy's uncertain, regardless of what the spin doctors tell us. Stock market goes up and down. Commodities, gasoline, food, that prices keep going up. World tensions get higher and higher. Got Iran doing their thing. Got North Korea doing their thing. You got good old Mr. Putin getting back into the act in Russia. I guarantee you he'll help do his thing. We got soldiers who are dying on foreign soils. Glad you got back safely. We've got countries that openly violate human rights. We got government leaders that are more interested and more concerned about staying in office and how to get back into office than they are about fixing the problems that we've got in our country. Do you think we need to hear the voice of God? You know, and then on a personal level, we need to hear God so that we can make good decisions in our lives. How many of y'all face decisions that you're going to have to make this week? You don't have to raise your hand. Just think about it. How many of y'all are facing decisions that you have to make this week where you really need to make it based on good, sound judgment? I think most of us do. We raise families. We need to hear God's voice as we're raising our families. We need to hear God's voice if we want to really show Jesus Christ to a lost and a very dying world. We need to hear God's voice, not just on Sunday mornings. Amen. Are you depressed? When you think about all that, does it depress you a little bit? The good news is as a follower of Jesus Christ, no matter how big the problems get, there is no reason for us to get depressed because we have a Savior, we have a Lord, His name is Jesus Christ, and He's able to give us direction in our lives, good direction, godly direction in our lives. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 reminded us, has already been read, it said, "For I am confident of this very thing, that He who began a good work in you," what was that good work? What was that good work that He began? Anybody? When we got saved, that was the good work that began in us. And it says that He will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. That means that all throughout our life, He wants to work in our lives. He wants to be a part of our life. Amen? He wants to talk to us. He wants to show us. He wants to share with us. And He wants to give us the strength. He wants to give us the hope. He wants to give us the power that we need to go through our lives. So in my earlier statement from Dr. Blackaby's quote, God's people need to hear His voice. We need to hear it daily. Because how else are we going to be perfected? How is that good work going to continue to go in our lives if we're not listening to God's voice? Amen? Blackaby also went on and said, he said, "How do church members know what God's saying to them? How do they recognize His voice?" Oh, boom, 2x4, right? Ball peen hammer. Whip. No. How do they clearly grasp? How do they understand clearly what God intends? And most importantly, what adjustments are they going to have to make in their lives so that God can work through them? What adjustments do we have to make in our own lives so that we will hear the voice of God and that he will work through us? Amen? Yeah. So let's start with that first one. How do we, people who belong to Dallas Baptist Church, how are we Christians? How do we who are part of the family of God? How do we know what God's saying to us today, tomorrow, the rest of this week? Last week we looked at two of the roles of the Holy Spirit, one being the counselor or helper, paraclete, the other one being the seal, the one who affirms, the one who gives the authenticity of that we do in fact have Jesus Christ in our hearts. Today, though, we're going to move into this other area. And this other, the next area that I want us to look at is the area of the Holy Spirit being our teacher. And if we look at John chapter 14, verses 26 and verse 16, both out of chapter 14, I want to start with 26 first. Excuse me. Jesus said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." He will teach you all things. Jump backward to verse 16, and Jesus said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give to you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth." Take those two together, and it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that lo and behold, the thing that the Holy Spirit's going to be teaching us is the truth of God. Holy Spirit doesn't teach lies, does he? He's going to teach truth. Okay, this is the reason why it is so urgent, it's so critical in the life of a follower of Jesus Christ to listen to the Holy Spirit, to listen to God in our lives. Because otherwise, you're not going to walk by the truth. We can say, "Oh, well, I'm Spirit-led." Well, what's leading you? A bellyache? An emotion? I felt. How many times do we hear that? Amen? But we need to hear, we need to know that the teacher is the one who did the teaching, that the teacher is the one who's doing the speaking, and not our bellies, or not our emotions, or not our friends. So I want us to go over a couple of other verses as we're looking at this. And again, we're going to draw out of several passages. Dave, this is probably one of your favorites because it's out of the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 33. We're going to look at Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Just one. So as we go back into the Old Testament, one of the reasons why we need the Old Testament is it's really kind of makes it really difficult without the Old Testament to really fully understand what's going on in the New Testament sometimes. It's all God's Word. It really bothers me when I hear people say, "Well, I don't need anything from that Malachi 4 backwards. All I need is from Matthew to the end in Revelation." There's an awful lot that you miss out. It's all of God's Word, isn't it? It's all the inspired Word of God, all the way from in the beginning, all the way to the last amen. It's all His. Anyway, as we look at this, we go back into Jeremiah and we find out that lo and behold, the people living back there in Jeremiah's day were not living in paradise. Things were not all peaches and cream. They weren't all that great. In fact, when you look at what was going on back in their day and then you compare it to what's going on in our day, you go, there's a lot of similarities. Because there really are. You see, for the Jews back there, they were being threatened by foreign invasion. And their leaders, their governmental leaders, were lying to the people. Can you believe that? Politicians telling lies. They were lying to the people. They were putting a good spin on everything because one of the things that were coming out that Jeremiah's people heard, the people back in Jeremiah's day heard, was peace, peace, don't sweat it, everything's cool. Amen? And so their governmental leaders are all lying to them. And really what they're trying to do is they're stealing from anybody for their own personal gain because they were corrupt. Doesn't sound like America today, does it? Well, maybe we're not threatened by a foreign invasion per se, not a military one anyway, at least not yet. But we certainly can see the corruption all around us, can't we? Amen. And I think we also will recognize that maybe the invasion, while not being of a foreign military, is definitely of a foreign military of sorts, and his name is Satan. If you don't think so, what has happened to the erosion, if you will, of moral values in the United States of America? Family values. Right from wrong. Amen? So there's been an invasion. It just happens to be a spiritual one. But overall, things aren't a whole lot different than they were for the Jews than they are for us today here in America. But for the Jews, guess what? You know what? It could have been a very hopeless situation. And a lot of people looked at it and go, it's hopeless, it's hopeless. But you know what? It wasn't hopeless. Because they had the same hope that we have. They had God. They had Yahweh. They had God who was still her God. And they had God who wanted Israel to follow him. And they had God who wanted Israel to follow him rather than trusting totally in their politicians or some foreign ruler for their salvation. You jump back in here, the United States of America come today, the world today, and we have the same real hope, folks. We offer the same real hope, and his name is Jesus Christ. And this same real hope, Jesus, gives us a real peace. Irregardless of what's going on in this world. Irregardless of what the politicians do. Irregardless of what the president does, or the Congress, or the Senate, or the local guys, or the justices, or whoever. Jesus Christ is still our rock. He is still the one that we can count on. He is still the one who will give you peace regardless of what goes on. And he is still the only one who can do that irregardless of what goes on. And you know how he does it? He does it through the one who's called the Holy Spirit, the teacher of all truth. Here's where the application comes in for us. See, Israel in her day had to make a choice. She had to choose, just like we have to choose. Are we going to listen to God through his Spirit and obey him, or are we going to choose to just let God's word kind of go through one ear and right out the other? That's the choice that we have today. No different than the one that the Jews had back then. Jeremiah told them in verse 3, he says, call to me and I will answer. And here I'm going to tell you about the how. This is the how to listen to the Holy Spirit. He says, call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things which you don't know. God wants to tell his people things that we don't really know. In other words, things that don't go along with human logic. Things that sometimes don't always make sense, but in God's scheme of things, they make perfectly good sense. The first thing that God's people back in Jeremiah's day needed to do, and the first thing that God's people today also need to do, is they have to call on him, but they have to realize before they ever call on him that they've turned from him. You don't ever turn back to something you don't realize you've turned away from, do you? 2 Chronicles 7:14 is a good reminder. It says, my people who call by my name need to humble themselves and pray and seek my face. In other words, turn back. Humble themselves. Realize, recognize, and admit that, even as born-again believers, we sometimes stray. And we sometimes turn away from him. So if we want to call on God, we've got to turn to him, don't we? It means that you've got to turn away from something and turn back to him. Key words are, if we really want to hear him. If you really want to hear him through his Spirit, the first step is to get humble and then call on his name. Get humble and call on his name. So approaching God involves getting the right heart attitude, doesn't it? How many Christians walk around this world today saying they're Christians and who have got a terrible heart attitude? I'm telling you, folks, they need to, and if you're one of them, you need to turn back to Him. Call on His name. Right heart attitudes, humility, openness, seeking Him, recognizing that, lo and behold, you do not have all of the answers. Dr. Spock doesn't have all of the answers. The schoolmasters don't have all of the answers. I don't have all of the answers. You don't have all of the answers. Oprah does. A lot of people think so, don't they? Amen. And a few others. See, Jeremiah just laid it out there. He said, you got to have the right attitude. You got to turn to God. You got to call out to His name. And he says, when you do, then God's going to speak some great and wondrous things, some mighty things, truth things, things that you don't know. So we've got to kind of realize before we ever turn to Him that we don't have the answer. Amen. See, the problem we've got today is our thought process is so interlaced with humanism that we've even colored God's Word with humanism. See, God's Word is full of truth, but when you throw humanism in it, it messes it all up. And so God's Word, and this is one of the reasons why so many people rebel against God's Word and they don't like the literal interpretation. They prefer to be able to interpret it their way, to make it fit the human way. Focusing on human values, things that we say are so important, things that are our concerns, placing the emphasis on us rather than God. That's human. That's all humanism is. It's putting the emphasis on the wrong, putting it on us instead of Him. So our first step, folks, as Christians, if we really want to know how to hear the voice of God, then our first step is to start listening to Him. And we won't do that until we turn to Him and recognize that, lo and behold, we don't have the answers. That He's the one that's got the truth. Christ followers of Jesus Christ, folks, have to follow the truth of God's Word spoken through the Holy Spirit in your heart. And the Holy Spirit will never tell you anything that is not out of God's Word. Two-minute warning. I like that. Anyway, as we wrap up, you know, if this is an area maybe that you struggle with, how do I hear? Then why not make the step and come before God with the humble heart? Turn to Him with a humility. Turn to Him with a softness in your heart, with an openness in your heart to hear what He wants to say to you. And then let the Holy Spirit Himself guide your mind, guide your heart as you seek what God has to say with His Word laying there in your lap, reading it. Philippians 1:6, again, like Paul said, he said, I'm confident in this very thing that He who began that good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. This is something that God is going to do in each one of our lives until the day that Jesus Christ comes back. But we have to allow the Holy Spirit to guide us, to teach us, if you will, and to perfect that work in each one of our lives. So listen to the Lord. Listen to God through His Spirit who dwells in each and every one of you who know Him. Listen to Him. Practice coming before Him with a soft heart and see what He has to say to you. You know, it might be that you're struggling with something. Maybe you need God's take on fill in the blank. Turn to Him. Come to Him. Maybe you need God's fresh word as you're trying to make a life decision this week. Maybe you need God's word as you're trying to deal with a relationship. Or maybe you just need to know God a little bit more and you want to know Him more. As you do so, come before Him with an open heart, with a humble heart, and let the Holy Spirit show you those great and mighty things that He really wants to. And He will, as He continues that work in your life. Father, I want to thank You so much that You have given us the Holy Spirit to not only guide us, teach us, to be with us, but to really be able to sense Your presence, and then having the one there who will in fact guide us in truth each and every day if we just let Him. Lord, we want to be followers. We really want to follow You. We want to live lives, Father, that just honor You and that show Jesus Christ to other people. We just want to please You, God, more than anything else because we love You. So I pray this morning, Father, that if there be one, maybe they're seeking You today. I would pray, Father, maybe if they were in the first service, maybe they're in this service, maybe they'll be listening on the internet. It doesn't matter. I just pray, Father, that if there's one who's seeking, that he or she will just turn to You and call out to You and let You be the one who ministers to them, who teaches to them. Father, for us who already know You, again, help us. Show us as those times when we step away from You and draw us back as only You can, because we truly do want to hear You. We want to hear You so we can follow You. So I just lift this up to You. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.